Hell! Do you fear it? Should you fear it? Well, it depends on who you ask, right? Depends on whether you even believe there's such a thing, right? Depends on whether you think there is an afterlife. John Lennon, he just imagined that it didn't exist. What if there's no God? Maybe there's no God, there's no justice. Then there's no reason to fear hell. There's no reason to fear any punishment in the afterlife. Correct? What about the Christian, though? Should the Christian fear hell? I see someone shaking their head in the back. How about, hell no! The Christian shouldn't fear hell. And why is that? What I'm going to try and do or attempt to do today is to remove or scare the hell out of the fear of hell. What does God's Word say? Whoever believes in the Son will not perish, but has eternal life. And he who believes in Him will not be judged. Look at John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. So I'm not going to try and scare the hell out of you with the horrors of fire and brimstone, but like I said, I'm going to attempt to scare the fear out of hell with the promise of eternal life from the Lord of life, He alone who provides not only salvation, but the assurance of salvation. Now, the question that we're going to attempt to answer about this doctrine of assurance of salvation is, how do you know you're saved? Now, is this question, how do you know you're saved, is that any different from the question that we've often asked, how are you saved? What's the answer? How are you saved? What's the little motto we have here on the front of the bulletin? Christ alone, plus not one thing. Now, that's how we're saved. But how do you know that you're saved? Is that question any different from the second question? Well, again, it depends on who you ask. Some say that, yeah, you're saved by faith alone. How do you know you're saved? Well, you have to look at other things, not just your faith. You have to test your faith. You have to look at your life. You have to see if you're measuring up, if you have the real faith, the committed faith. Only then will you know whether you're saved or not. But if that's the case, well, you can have some assurance, but you're not going to have the biblical full assurance of salvation. Now, many say that full assurance of salvation is not possible in this life, and that complete certainty is actually a heresy and detrimental to the Christian. So we're going to ask this question, is assurance even possible? Well, we live in a day of uncertainty, the age of uncertainty. In fact, on my lesson on the short history of Christianity, the last chapter, which is really kind of an unfinished chapter because we're still in the modern time, we haven't closed out the present age, which is, I believe, the age of uncertainty, which believes that the only thing that is certain is uncertain. Or, another way of saying it, the only thing that is certain is that nothing is certain, which is a contradiction in itself, but that's what rules today. Skepticism rules the day. The only thing that is certain is uncertainty. Uncertainty not only permeates the culture around us, but it also permeates the way the church thinks and the way the Christian thinks. Many or most Christians are not even sure of where they are going. They don't believe assurance is even possible, much less obtainable. I thought I saw article that was written in one of the little newsletters we get from the Evangelical Grace Society. It had a little article there about John Piper's church, saying that many of the people, or most of the people in his church, are doubtful whether or not they are saved. Well, if you know anything about him and the teaching there, they base their salvation, the knowledge of their salvation, on their works. So if you're going to base it on works, then you're going to have doubts whether or not you're saved or not. First thing you want to look at is the definition, first of all, of assurance. And there are three things that came to mind, or when you, if you look up the word assurance in a dictionary or and so forth, you find these words: certainty, confidence, and freedom from doubt. This is what assurance is. Now, is that what the Bible teaches? Does the Bible teach that we can have certainty, confidence, and freedom from doubt concerning our salvation? First, what is the doctrine of assurance? In fact, it can only be called a doctrine. Now, the word doctrine, sometimes people get scared. Ooh, doctrine. It's really just the Greek word translated, word teaching. So, is this doctrine of assurance found in Scripture? Well, I believe it is. Here's a definition of assurance that's found in the Bible dictionaries. And I found that most of these were actually pretty good. In Baker's Dictionary of Theology, it says that the doctrine that those who are truly saved may know without a doubt, that is 100%, that they are saved. In the International Standard Encyclopedia, it says it signifies the joyous, unwavering confidence of an intelligent faith, that the security of a fearless trust. And the state of being assured, freedom from doubt and uncertainty, as a theological concept, assurance is one of the richest doctrines of the Bible. It refers to the believer's full confidence and conviction that the penalty of his sins has been paid and that heaven has been secured as his eternal destiny by Christ's death and resurrection. So says Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. In fact, that whole article on this dictionary was excellent. I could almost read the whole thing straight out without having any reservations of having any error in it. Assurance, though, we find in the Scripture itself, means to be fully convinced or totally / completely persuaded. I want to emphasize, not only can you be sure of something, but you can be totally and fully sure of what the Bible promises. The New Testament word, generally translated assurance, is the Greek word plerophoreo. Now, plerophoreo is used in such passages as, if you do a little word search, concordance search, you find this word in these passages. In Romans 4:21, also you find it in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, Colossians 2:2, Hebrews 6:11, and 10:22. Now, for sake of brevity, I'm only going to make reference to these passages. Hopefully I'm not taking them out of context. I don't have enough time to go through each one in depth. But I want to demonstrate the fact that the Bible talks about having a full assurance. Not necessarily always talking about salvation, but person having a full assurance of what God was saying or what someone was speaking of in those passages. The first one we find in Romans 4:21, where Abraham was fully assured that what God has promised, he was also to perform. Mention the context in this passage. Remember, Abraham and Sarah were very, very old. They were 90, 100 years old. They were impotent. They weren't going to be able to have any children. They were beyond bearing age of children. And God promised, I'm going to give you an heir. I'm going to give you a son. That son will then have another son, and they'll have sons, and they'll become a great nation. At that point, Abraham believed God. He believed what God had said, and he was fully assured of what God had said. He knew that he believed that God was going to perform what he had promised. And so he was fully assured of it. The next one you find in 1 Thessalonians, where Paul says, "Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." Now, I've been using the New American Standard, as I often do when I'm speaking. Oftentimes we use the New King James Version, which is fine. If you look up in these other verses or other translations, the New King James, King James, they have the word "much assurance," and the NIV has "deep conviction." I think this is not the best translation of the word, because I believe the best translation of the word is emphasizing the fullness, the completeness, not just a lot of it, not just 99% of it, but 100% of it, all of it, not just much of it. So Paul here is telling them that when he came to preach the gospel to the Thessalonians, he came with power of the Holy Spirit, and he was fully assured and confident that what he was saying was true. Not just a little bit. I'm going to tell you about the gospel that may be 99% sure. No, it's 100% sure. I am fully confident of what I'm saying is true. And Colossians 2, 2 and 3 says there, "attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Here Paul, again in Colossians, is reminding them that they can have a full assurance, not 99%, not 95%, but the 100% complete assurance of understanding, resulting in the true knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ himself. Hebrews 6:11 says, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." Now, this kind of hints at the fact that why would the author of Hebrews encouraging them to have diligence, that is, work at it, to realize the full assurance of hope? This may actually implies that they didn't have full assurance, okay, and that they needed to have the full assurance. I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes, is that Christians can have salvation, but they may not always have full assurance of their salvation. They may not always know they're saved, even though they still are. So here, the author of Hebrews is saying, be diligent to realize the fact that you can have full assurance of hope until the end. And the last one is found in Hebrews 10:19-20. He says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, and since we have a great priest," I'm only quoting part of it here, "let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water." Notice that if we don't have full assurance, then we are not going to be wanting to draw near to a God of judgment, a God who wants to bring judgment upon us. We're not going to be wanting to draw near to that. Just like a raging fire, you want to back up. But if we have full assurance, a full assurance of faith, this will allow us to draw near to God. All right. Let's look at, where do we find the source of our assurance? We find it here, right here, in this book, God's Word. Let's look at some of these. Now, some of this is rather redundant. You're all familiar with some of these verses. But just for the record, we want to state what the Word plainly says, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life. He who believes in him is not judged. He who believes in the Son has present tense eternal life. Not he who believes will have in the future, may have, hopefully I make it. No, you believe, you have eternal life. What must I do to be saved? Asked the Philippian jailer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Romans 4:5. You've heard this one before. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. That is, salvation, not faith, is a gift of God, but salvation is a gift that is given to you through faith, not as a result of the works that you do now, past, present, future works that you have to prove so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Now, let me read what Wilkie says here. I've been reading this book, Secure and Sure, Grasping the Promise of God, Robert N. Wilkin. He's the president of the Grace Evangelical Society. He's the one who authors the newsletters that we have. And there's a link from our website to their website. In the bookstore, they have tapes and books that you can purchase. And I purchased this one along with another one he wrote called Rewards. And this is what I've primarily been using for this message. And I like to read what he says concerning the source of salvation. He says, to be certain, you need an objective standard. That is the Word of God. And there is one, the black and white promises of God to all who simply believe in Jesus. He assured, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in what Jesus said? I've talked to people and they say, oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, okay. Do you believe that what Jesus said, that if you trust in him, you believe in him, you come to him, you have eternal life? Do you believe that? Well, if your answer is yes, then Jesus claims in this verse that you have eternal life. If you believe it, you have eternal life, right? Now, if you respond, well, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not sure whether or not I have everlasting life. Then, clearly, you don't believe what Jesus said in John 6:47. If this is true, then it applies to everyone who believes in Jesus. So, there's a question about whether or not assurance is the essence of salvation. Do you have to be sure of your salvation when you believe it? I think the question to that is yes. You're presented the gospel, the offer of salvation, eternal life, at some point in your life, and you believe it. I'm sure I believe it, because I just believed it. Then you're saved right there. You are sure of your salvation. Now, a week goes by, 2 weeks till they go by, and you hear a message by John MacArthur who says, not only do you have to believe, you have to be committed to your life, you have to do this, you have to do that. Then you say, I wonder, did I really believe? Because I didn't do all those other things yet. Well, I better do that. So then you start to doubt. But what we need to do is go back to what the Word of God says. What does God say? If you believe, you have eternal life. All right, now let's look at the expressions of assurance. Biblical promises. Assurance is the idea that all who believe in Jesus' promise of eternal life are eternally secure. This is the promise of the gospel. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He who believes in me has eternal life. Do you believe that? You believe that? When did you believe that? Hopefully sometime you believed it in the past. And when you believed it, At that moment, you had eternal life. Do you still have eternal life? You still believe? What if you stopped believing? Does that mean you lost it? Does that mean you never had it? No. It means that you just lost your assurance. You didn't lose your salvation. Jesus said also, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And you will go in and out and find pasture. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. John 10:28-29. Here's an important one. Jesus speaking to Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will, even if he dies, that is, dies physically, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, that is, die spiritually. We could die physically, but we were raised. He asked Martha, do you believe this? And what was her response? Said yes. She said yes to him. And notice she gives the reason why she believed. Lord, she believed because he was who? He was the Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even who comes into the world. A lot of times, like when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, we talked about this in our study in Mark, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Or what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus didn't just say, believe in me. The problem was, this rich young ruler didn't trust what Jesus had to say. He couldn't believe in Jesus because he didn't believe what Jesus said he was able to deliver. If I came to you and said, I'm going to give you eternal life, Ray Losey, believe in me and you'll have eternal life.
No.
That's right. Why not? I can't give you eternal life because I'm life. I'm a sinner. Just ask my wife, my kids. So I kind of call this I was going over this with Rev, and I thought, well, is this a precondition? There's a condition for receiving eternal life is believing. But this is kind of like a precondition. But I thought a better way to say it is it's a logical necessity. It's not an absolute necessity, but it's a logical necessity that people will have. Why won't they believe? Many times people will reject receiving eternal life because first, they don't believe there is such a thing as eternal life, or they don't believe that there is someone who can give it. Right? So they have to first, what? They have to believe that there is such a thing as eternal life, and then believe that there is someone who can give it. And who is that? Well, then we have to say, well, that's the Jesus Christ. Well, who's Jesus Christ? Then we have to explain to them all that about who Jesus Christ is, and he's able to give it to them. Once they believe that, then they can trust what Jesus said, and if they trust what Jesus said, they can believe on him for eternal life. Does that make logical sense? So that's what we call a pre-evangelism. So Martha said, yes, I believe. I believe it. And she was sure that she believed it. She was fully assured. This is at the end of John. And he says, many other signs Jesus also performed for his disciples and so forth, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John wrote the whole book of John not only to tell people that how they can have eternal life, but to tell people how they can know they have eternal life. And you know you have eternal life by believing in him the same way you do in the way you receive it. All right, one last verse. 1 John 2:25 says, this is the promise. What was the promise Jesus gave? He himself made to us. He promised to give us eternal life. If you believe it, you have it. If you believe it now, you have assurance of salvation. Now, what do we believe in Jesus for? Many times going up I-95 or I-75 somewhere, I don't know where it's, Florida or Georgia somewhere, I saw this billboard talking about come and receive Jesus. And if you receive Jesus, you'll receive overcome depression, overcome loneliness. You'll have a better sex life or whatever they say. You'll have all these things. But nothing about, oh, we believe in Jesus for what? The main thing is that it receive eternal life. That was kind of left off the billboard. Maybe offering eternal life doesn't seem as appealing as some of those other things. But what do we believe in Jesus for? Well, we believe in Jesus for eternal life. That's what we're believing for. It's eternal life. 1 Timothy 1:16. Last thing we're going to look at is the basis of assurance. This is our present faith. Assurance is based on what we believe right now, not on what we believed in the past. We can have assurance now, as Wilkie says, only if we believe the promise of God now. You can be saved and you can know you're saved. Assurance means that Christians not only possess salvation, but he also knows what he possesses. He is assured of this salvation. He who has the Son has life. These things have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. And Jesus doesn't want us to be in doubt whether we're saved or not. He wants us to know. And these verses affirm that. He wants us to know, and it's possible. It's even possible to know with full assurance we have eternal life. We don't have to live in doubt. In 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, I'm not ashamed, for I know, Paul said, I know whom I believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him until that day. Now, you can be saved and yet not be sure of your salvation. This is also true. You can be saved and you can be sure of it. You can be saved and you cannot be sure of it. But your salvation can never be lost, but your assurance can be lost. Assurance is based not on what you did or even believed in the past. Your salvation is, but not your assurance. It's based on what you believe right now. Even if we believed his promise in the past, we no longer believe it, then we're not saved, because the only way to have assurance is to believe the promise right now. Your salvation can never be lost. Of course, loss of certainty doesn't mean loss of eternal life. Eternal life is eternal. Once we believe in Jesus for eternal life, we are secure forever, even if later we lose our assurance. As John 10:28 says, as long as we continue to believe, we continue to be certain we have eternal life. I'm quoting Wilkin here. As soon as we stop believing in him, doubt then creeps in and we lose our assurance. If a believer loses his grip on the promise of everlasting life, he remains eternally secure. God never loses his grasp of anyone who comes to faith in Jesus, according to John 10:28, 30. So assurance is based not on what you did or even believed in the past. It's based on what you believe right now. The conclusion is this. Assurance of salvation is a doctrine found in scriptures. Though many may doubt whether full or total assurance can never be obtained in this life, to those who believe the full assurance is possible, great joy and a thankful heart will follow. Now, next week, we're going to deal with how is having full assurance affect our Christian life. How does it affect our walk, our sanctification? How does it affect the way we do evangelism? So that's what you have to look forward to next week.